Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name's David Reed and this man's name is Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek.
Hello, David.
Are you looking forward to this episode? It's a special. It's a one-off.
A special episode. Why is it special?
We're going to talk about the worst films ever made in a slightly cynical move that I hope doesn't bring our mood down. I hope it's reverent and fun in celebration of films, despite their flaws.
People like watching people be nasty about things. Let's hope they like listening to it too.
Yeah, otherwise we have fucked up.
So hopefully you'll never have to see any of the films that are mentioned in this podcast.
Yes, so you have for the last probably about 5 weeks been sending us in your worst films you have ever seen in your life, and we are going to share them all with you as a sort of cautionary tale.
Yeah.
Aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. But before we do that, we should mention we are sponsored this week by HerFilmProject.com, who promotes equality in films, equal opportunity in films, for specifically for women, and they have more recently branched out into other people who are underrepresented in the film industry as well. So if you're interested in helping them out, or if they could help you, then go to HerFilmProject.com or follow @HerFilmProject on Twitter.
So, if you underrepresent, who is underrepresented?
In a film? Well, yeah. Me and you, we were in almost no films.
You don't see people.
You were in The Magicians, and I was in a thing called One Crazy Thing, but apart from that.
Yeah. I was thinking of more people. I mean, you don't see many people who've got colds in films.
No.
Toothache?
Well, apart from an outbreak, everyone had a cold in that.
That probably balances it out, doesn't it?
Probably. There's far too many in that.
So if you've got that, suddenly if you've got a cold and you think, oh, we're underrepresented in films, then something comes along where there's a mass epidemic.
But of course,
80 million people have got colds.
But once outbreaks come out, I mean, that was in the 90s, so people go, well, that's covered, but you haven't worked in 30 years.
But 80 million people had
got a cold, so yeah.
That probably does count for the next 20 years.
I don't know, I think that's tokenism.
Toothache?
Toothache?
Yeah.
Yeah, not many people would. Actually, comedy toothache is quite a staple of 90s rom coms as well.
Okay, diarrhea.
Diarrhea, not so much, is it?
But you have to maintain.
When's the last time you saw someone blast their O ring out on a in a film?
I don't know, but you'd have to maintain that for the whole of the film.
Who would you cast as someone with chronic diarrhea?
Jeff Goldblum.
Really? I was going to go for Mel Gibson. Interesting.
Well,
interesting. So, the worst films ever made. Those are two of the worst films that were never made. What are the worst films ever made, Mary?
Well, you've been writing in. I've been going through my DB list of the films I've given one star. I've already ranted in the past about the specific genre I hate, which is the sort of laddie,
football
sweary
factory.
Football factory films. So the Sweeney, Welcome to the Punch, one star. The 51st State, absolutely terrible.
It's a weird film, that, isn't it? If anyone awful. Doesn't know that, it's from the late 90s, I think. And stars Samuel L. Jackson in a kilt for no reason coming to Britain. I cannot remember a thing about it.
I remember watching it. This is absolutely awful. It was Robert Carlyle when he was at his.
That's
sort of
right. It's post train spotting, isn't it?
Yeah, and it was a terrible film. I also hate the sort of horror porn film. So Hostel Part 2 is a disgusting film, as is Wolf Creek. These are my and these are other things I've given terrible marks. Hot Tub Time Machine, I gave 2 stars.
I liked Hot Tub Time Machine.
Captain America the First Avenger, 2 stars.
I quite
Marley and Me, 2 stars.
No, 5 stars from me.
Up in the Air, 2 stars. Snatch, 2 stars. And one film I saw which I gave 1 star, which is Round Island with a Fridge, which is Tony Hawk's.
Did they make a film out of that?
He made a film about his best selling book in which he took a fridge round Ireland. I mean, the acting is horrific.
Who plays Tony Hawk?
He plays Tony Hawk's. He plays himself in it. It is one of the most clunky, terrible, boring
comedies. You've never mentioned
comedies.
That film before.
I watched it by accident on TV.
Right.
And I thought, I think I started watching it. I thought, is this a comedy sketch of a bad acting? You know, it's on. You think, oh, is he taking the piss? It's not like him to do satire on film. No.
This is his best effort.
Actual film, Round Island with a Fridge. Incredible for just how I just think he's not ever watched a film before. Here are some of the comments on IMDb. This is just, seriously, skip this and treasure the book. 2 stars. And I was reading the titles. Beyond awful, 1 star. Is it possible to give a negative star? 1 star. Incredibly disappointing, 1 star. Truly, genuinely, absolutely awful, 1 star. And the person writes, this is possibly one of the worst examples of culture man has ever produced. There's not a single redeeming feature about this tripe. If anyone who's given this more than 2 stars should be just has been lobotomised.
Wow. So is there a sequel in the works? Or?
I think he's made some more films, but I felt so sorry because it's definitely about Tony Hawk's making him look. He comes across as slightly narcissistic about it. I mean, if he ever hears this, he'll try and beat me up. I reckon I could take him in a fight pretty easily. Yeah,
probably.
Incredible.
I mean, some of the, looking at my ratings, Suicide Squad, 1 star. I mean, a film without merit, really. I tend to be a bit more generous, but Beastmaster 3, The Eye of Braxis, that got 1 star from me, from our Beastmaster special. Independence Day Resurgence.
Yeah.
Extricable film, absolute toss. A one that I think needs a special mention as well is Limitless, which is one of the most unimaginative film. I think Limitless is everything wrong with the modern world, that somebody takes a pill to give them limitless potential and so they try and get a job at a bank.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the most boring film. It screams of a lack of creativity and ambition. It is Bradley Cooper in film form. Like, it's just, oh, stop it.
Yeah.
Terrible. Terrible. Have you ever walked out of the cinema?
Yes, I walked out of The Mummy.
Well, obviously you've walked out of the cinema many times, but before the film ends.
The Mummy. I hate for some reason.
Really?
Yeah,
you know
really
what? I used to be a real advocate for The Mummy, and it was on TV recently. So I went, oh, The Mummy, that's fun. That's one of those. Put it on and just like, no, this quirkiness is not doing it for me anymore. This has aged. And you know what I also found weird was the unreality of Brendan Fraser's hairline. It was deeply sinister.
Oh, really?
It was sort of like a black hole, like it had been filled in with crayon. It was really strange. No, it's not aged well, The Mummy.
Yeah.
Well, the new Tom Cruise one's coming out soon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It looks like Mission Impossible, but with ancient artifacts.
Tom Cruise's face is gradually turning into a gnome. Not Tom Cruise, Tom Hanks I'm thinking of.
No, it's Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is slowly turning into a Covent Garden caricaturist's drawing of Tom Cruise.
I had to write a trailer thing about The Mummy, and you can guarantee that in any Tom Cruise film trailer, within 1 minute, Tom Cruise will start running.
That's true.
There will be the running shot.
He's really good at running. There's a supercut of Tom Cruise running.
Oh, is there?
On YouTube, yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's the ultimate runner in films. Really good. So what did you pick out? So people have written in and you picked out a film.
Yes. I believe it was Buck Red Buck.
Yes.
Who suggested Howard the Duck, which as the one out of the two of us who watches Marvel films, I thought, well, that is one I have not seen. And for people who don't know, Howard the Duck is weirdly part of the Marvel universe. Now, he is a duck from a planet where everyone is a duck, and apart from that, it seems to be identical to Earth. So they
have a really popular comic series that was quite sort of scathing and comic. Was it?
It was quite dark, I think, and satirical, and it was almost a piss take of the cutesiness of Donald Duck and stuff, I think, where he's quite cynical and horny and, you know, wisecracking. And so George Lucas, in 1986, produced a Howard the Duck film where, in the opening bit, there's several references to George Lucas' other projects. So there is a reference to, I think it's Raiders of the Lost Ark, but with a duck in it. Howard has a film poster on the wall of it and stuff. And anyway, at the beginning, because of a space laser or something, he gets pulled out of his deadbeat apartment and lands on our Earth. And from then on, it's a culture clash / superhero film where he falls in with a band called Cherry Bomb, but specifically the singer in the band, played by Leah Thompson, who from Back to the Future.
I remember. I mean, I watched this when it came out when I was about a kid from the video shop about four or five times, but I can barely remember anything about it. But it's famously was a massive loss maker for the
huge failure. And it's a small person in a very, very good animatronic duck head. You know, it's done in the same way that the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles films were, where the head is basically puppetry and then the actor is using, it's their body with a suit on, you know.
Yeah.
And so they're wearing presumably this incredibly heavy, dangerous mechanical head on top of it. And it's basically, weirdly, a kind of love story between a duck and a woman,
yeah,
whilst trying to send him home. An alien overlord thing comes down and threatens mankind, and Howard's the only one who can save them. It's pretty trad, you know, sort of stuff. I found this film fascinating.
Is it good or not? Because I can't remember.
You know what? It is not the worst film of all time by a long stretch. It is certainly what it feels like. Is a very, very bold attempt to do something different that kind of falls flat on its face a bit. It is not as charming as it thinks it is, and it falls between not two stools, but many, many stools, hitting no stools whatsoever. What I found fascinating watching it now, as I say, it's 1986, and I believe was the first Marvel property to be made into a film. Mm-hmm. They didn't have much luck in the early days. 86, you got Howard the Duck. 94, they made a Fantastic Four film that never got released, but it was just to retain the rights of it. And in 98, as recent as that, they made a Nick Fury film, made famous by Samuel L. Jackson, but starring David Hasselhoff as Nick Fury. Now, all turkeys, these films. It wasn't until also in 1998 when Blade got made where people went, ah, okay, this is how we do this. And the Marvel things started to roll. The success of Blade. Weirdly, Blade did not have his own comic at that time. He was just a character who appeared in other things.
Oh.
But getting back to Howard the Duck, this feels like it wants to be Deadpool. It wants to be taking the piss out of cutesy, family-friendly films like Christopher Reeve's Superman and presumably other films that had come out already. I can't quite remember, because superheroes weren't a big thing then. It was Superman, basically, wasn't it?
Condor Man,
yeah. But it also wants to be a PG, because George Lucas is producing it and he loves money. And so he's a wisecracking duck who's, you know, he hits on a human woman, but he can't really do anything, and they can't really do it. If Howard the Duck had been an R-rated film, as they call them in America, or an 18 over here, with violence and swearing and sex references and alcohol, he smokes. I mean, it's a PG and he smokes cigars. But it would probably actually be brilliant, because it's the whole point is he's a duck, but he's a foul-mouthed asshole, and it just means it doesn't quite work. It's got Lea Thompson is doing incredible work making this duck costume relatable and human, and it's got Tim Robbins in an early role in his career as the nerdy scientist playing a comedy role, and then a guy who I always forget the name of, and he's in absolutely everything.
The evil guy,
Geoffrey Jones,
who best known as a headmaster in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yes, and no, that's not him. He's the Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I was thinking Breakfast Club. Yeah, he is. He's the headmaster of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. He's also the hen-pecked husband in Beetlejuice.
In Sleepy Hollow, he's in Amadeus.
Yeah.
He's in stuff around sort of late 80s. He was playing quite a lot of these weird comic... When that sort of role came out, some sort of slightly comedy bad guy...
Yeah.
He was the perfect man to play that part.
Howard the Duck feels like it's trying to copy things that were successful at the time. So there's a huge amount of Back to the Future in there, you know...
Even the title looked like Back to the Future.
Yeah,
isn't it?
They do. They've cast. Is it Lea Thompson? I'm saying her name right. Yes, it is Lea Thompson. They've cast Lea Thompson, and at the end, Howard plays electric guitar on stage during the Chuck Berry walk. I mean, it gets a bit poochy, if you know that reference from The Simpsons. But it's very 80s, it's very heightened. It doesn't work, but. It could have done. It very nearly could have done, you know? It's quite sweet that they acknowledged that this was their origins. There's a Howard the Duck post-credits cameo in Guardians of the Galaxy. But I don't know.
How many Davids did you give it?
It's really tough because it's not good. It's just... there's nothing worse than constant wisecracking that you don't find charming or funny. You know, it's trying to be Johnny Five, and it's not quite there. He could have had more teeth than Johnny Five. Like, it wants to be the smoking, drinking, punching, cute little duck, and it can't go there.
Just because of the PG thing.
It wants a PG rating, yeah. So, I'm going to give it a flat out 5. I think it's right there in the middle, because I think it could have been something really fun, and it for some reason it doesn't quite make it. But it's an interesting piece of movie history, and I think if it isn't already, because I wasn't aware of it really, it could be a cult classic just for how sort of clunky but wonderful some bits of it are.
Cool. So we should go straight into this then, shouldn't we?
So who's written in and what have they suggested?
Richard Bald has written in. Here we go. Dear David Marek and Buddy, the worst film I have ever seen was part of a 4-film thriller pack that was bought by some university friends for £1. The first film was Carnos Air 3 Primal Species, which I missed but was described as being so bad it was funny. Sold on this idea, I joined them for the next film, Death by Temptation. Unfortunately, this film was just bad. It is directed, written and starring James Bond 3, and is about a seductive vampire trying to tempt a young man from becoming a minister. The film has Samuel Jackson on the cover, who is in it for all of 2 minutes. I think the issue was that the other films in this collection were cheap and naff, but knew that they were sort of forerunners to Sharknado, but this film itself took itself a bit too seriously. Okay, that's from Richard Bald.
This one's from Dave. He says, "Dear Fandangaloids, the worst film you need to see is called Saving Christmas. It stars religious cockhole Kirk Cameron I think the rest of the cast must be members of his family and church. The reasons to watch. One, it is as casually racist as a good Christian movie needs to be. Two, it is basically a bottle episode, which you've discussed before on the show, and it feels like Kirk Cameron is about to suck a dick in a car. Honestly, that's why I stuck with the movie. My persistence was rewarded with three, literally the most incredible dance sequence I've ever seen. I can't believe they watched it back before releasing it to the world. Look out for Cameron's worm dance move, not penis. Please, please, please watch this movie. I'll give it all the Daves if that will help persuade you. And it is available for free on YouTube. Thanks for your time and watch all the films or whatever, Dave. Okay. Kirk Cameron, Christian, Saving Christmas. I mean, we've not watched it, Dave.
We've just picked a couple of your ones to watch, but we'll read out all your worst ones and hope we can save other people. This is from Fran Jolly. You ask listeners what your the worst films they've seen. Well, in 1998, I think they had two turkeys in a row with The Avengers, the TV remake with Ralph Fiennes.
That was horrible.
I think I started watching it and it was terrible.
But it was so bad because they didn't even get... I mean, why had they remade The Avengers if they were going to take all of the sort of... the stuff that made it The Avengers out of it?
Yeah.
Uma Thurman and Ralph Fiennes had zero chemistry. It was horrible.
And he also says Batman and Robin, which is...
only film I ever walked out of the cinema on.
Terrible. Yeah. It felt even more of a punch in the goodies because me and my mates booked way in advance and went to the midnight screenings. The only films I've walked out of were Jingle All the Way, Corpse Bride, and Inherent Vice.
Interesting. Corpse Bride.
Jingle All the Way was the film
Arnold Schwarzenegger, yeah.
I reviewed when I was on Movie Watch at university.
Bad luck. You got a shit
one. I got Jingle All the Way, last Home for the Holidays. I got three shit ones. And I think the week before it was like seven, The Usual Suspects. I got Jingle All the Way. There we go. There are loads of low-budget films that are appalling, but the major Hollywood films, we have no excuse for that kind of guff. I imagine Marek's Bumming Man to be a tender story of a man who can only feel and taste and smell through his hole, through his a-hole. Thank you, that's a good suggestion.
That's a good suggestion.
All the best, Fran Jolly. Here is another one.
This one is from Rob Marland, and he says, "Dear chaps, on the subject of the worst film ever, I submit Motherhood, in which Uma Thurman..." A common thread going on here, in which Uma Thurman plays a young mother juggling the many responsibilities of the average modern parent in New York. These include temporarily losing her parking space because there's a movie filming on her street, the influx of celebrity mums in the local playground, and finding time to write at least 5 parenting blogs per day. If I remember correctly, there is also a subplot about knocking through her two adjacent $2,000 per square foot Manhattan apartments to make a bit of extra space for the family. Basically, it's loads of self-indulgent tripe from a rich screenwriter who has forgotten what it's like to be a normal human. It reportedly took £88 in its opening weekend in UK cinemas, which is approximately £88 more than it deserved. Uma Thurman's done some stinkers, hasn't she?
Yeah, I mean, she sort of redeemed herself with Kill Bill, I suppose.
I do not enjoy her in Kill Bill. I find her very wooden. But I've enjoyed her in other things. I think she's excellent in Pulp Fiction. She's good in Baron von Munchausen.
Another letter here from Andrew McCuffey. "Dear David, Matt, Buddy and Danielle, if she's around. Whenever people talk about cult films that are so bad that they're good, the go-to film is Tommy Wiseau's The Room.
Which yes.
However, I would love to introduce you to Neil Breen. By day, Breen is an architect in Las Vegas, but when he's not doing that, he makes feature films. He starts with Double Down, where he plays the world's best computer hacker who exposes corruption in big business and government. Then moved on to I Am Here Now, where he is some sort of space robot Jesus who exposes corruption in big business and government. His third film was all about exposing corruption in big business and government and has a supernatural element to it, Fateful Findings, and he has just released his fourth film called Pass Through. These movies will possibly infuriate you, but I think you will love them. His acting, camera work, scripts, forgotten plots and overuse of stock footage is something to behold. His morality is extremely confused and the film will work better if you assume he's a bad guy rather than a hero. All the best. Keep watching the films. Andy McCaffey." Now, he sent a load of links through. and which I've watched bits of all of them, and this does fit into the Tommy Wiseau the room thing of so bad it is good.
Yeah.
And people have picked this. Neil Breen has started to get a following. I recommend for you, I mean, don't watch it by yourself. I think bad films is great to watch with other people. And if we I showed you a bit of this when you watched the start of it.
Yeah.
Just put into your YouTube Fateful Findings, and rather than sit through the whole film, which some fans have done a supercut.
There's a supercut of all the most awkward bits, which is 36, incredible viewing.
36 minutes long. It is. Watching the film made. I mean, I don't know how we can have a job as an architect, because clearly.
He has no eye.
I would not walk into any house or building that man
no.
had made, because it is astonishing. I mean, the only excuse is that to say, without being offensive, that he must be severely autistic.
I don't know.
Or mentally ill. Or
not
he?
Talented. That's it. It's just, we made more artistically challenging films when my brother was 7 years old. Like, it is so robotically lacking any humanity whatsoever.
That's what's so incredible. I mean, just to be able to knock over a glass and of coffee as a basic example, and do that in the most awkward
way, but long-winded as well. Like, every shot is too long. Every single shot.
So he, what seems to be the undercurrent to his need to make films, an excuse for him to film himself semi-naked or fully naked with women who are 20 or 30 years younger than him, and get off with them and have weird, not really sort of sex scenes, but just sort of standing together, yeah, naked scenes.
Well, clearly, if he's the director as well, these women aren't throwing themselves into it, because it's fucking awkward. But like, it's horrible viewing.
It is one of the most spectacular things you will see. I think is I was thoroughly, the superfan cut, I was thoroughly entertained and constantly surprised by what happens next.
I think in terms of a lack of talent, he beats Tommy Wiseau out of the water.
But it's much more enjoyable to watch this,
yes,
than to watch a film that's just that's bad and not totally incompetent, just bad without...
Plus, this guy's so prolific. Like, you know, Tommy Wiseau has made that one film that people watch. This guy's made loads.
Neil Breen, I think he's some sort of genius. There's a scene at the end where he exposes the corruption. I mean, you can't really have spoilers because it doesn't make sense, because it's about eight different films, plots into one, people getting killed for no reason,
yeah,
characters are scantily clad for no reason. A girl who's probably about 16 is semi-naked in this pool and then bath for no really apparent reason, so it makes you feel quite uncomfortable.
Mm.
He exposes the banks, the people in charge of the banks, in front of a really bad green screen of the White House. I mean, as all bankers would do when exposed as being corrupt, they all kill themselves.
Because of the power of his words.
Yeah, in a variety of weird of ways.
I wonder if he's been screwed over by the banks at any point in his life.
I would like the viewers to watch this, because it is... thank you, Andy McAfee, for bringing Neil Breen to our attention. And look him up, and... if you ever thought, sometimes you can be intimidated by thinking, I'm not going to do something creative because it might be shit. This will make you think, I can just put anything out there.
Yeah, I mean, we are all gods compared to Neil Breen.
It would be a challenge to actually, what, you know, they did Acorn Antiques,
yes,
which is famous for being filmed badly. It'd be difficult to do it actually worse than this.
I genuinely believe that, yes. It's an incredible... it would be an incredible performance to be able to be that bad at this.
That's what makes me think he's a genius, because even characters who are waving goodbye don't even move their arms properly.
No, but it's like he's told them to do it in a specific way and made them all self-conscious. Like, there's a little girl waving out of a car, and she's moving her head as much as she's moving her arm. It's this weird... it's not how anyone waves. It's like everyone's forgotten how to move.
Unless he's a computer and he's written the film. Anyway, that is... Thank you.
Neil Breen, you have won the worst film of all time.
I don't think it is. I think they're so bad they're good.
Okay. So, you've come back. You've won the best films of all time. You've come back round the other side of the scale.
We'll read a couple more. I mean, we might not get around to doing all of your films, but thank you for your suggestions. Here's another one here.
Here's another one. This is from Dom. And he says, the two worst films I ever saw were on two consecutive cinema trips. I can't say which is worse than the other, but between them I almost stopped going to the cinema entirely. They are Ultraviolet and Aeon Flux. I don't really remember which is which, and can't even bring myself to look them up on IMDb. But Charlize Theron is one, and Mila Jovovich is the other. Aeon Flux was based on a series of weird sci-fi short cartoons that ran on MTV in the 90s, I think. I've watched them later and they seem to have little in common with the movie. I have caught a bit of... You're right. I cannot remember if it was Ultraviolet or Aeon Flux. They seem very similar. Very green screeny era of, you know, action films trying to make it look a bit Japanese cartoony. And they are without charm, really.
I think a couple of other people also suggested Ultraviolet as well as the worst film they've seen. And Mila Jovovich does... you know, make some crap films. Stuart Baxter also says The Witch and Monsters Dark Continent he describes as both fucking pieces of shit.
The Witch is the one we talked about, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's alright. It's alright. I quite liked it, actually. Thought it was fine.
Well, the film I went to see, so actually I didn't go and see, it was recommended, was a new release, a British film, suggested by Gary Martindale, who also says that Ultraviolet was the only time he's walked out of the cinema. And he says, however, I'm writing to tell you to watch the film I'm watching now as I write this. It's called The Hatching and can be found on Netflix. I was drawn to this as I like horror films, and saw that two actors I quite like, Thomas Turgoose from This Is England and Laura Aitman, were in it. They're not bad in it. The film is just utter dog turd. It is a crocodile in the sewer story, except the sewer has been replaced with some water in Cornwall, and the bad guy is played by Justin Lee Collins. Don't watch it.
Hang on a second.
Please.
The bad guy is played by Justin Lee Collins.
Please, not you all, Gary. Well, I did watch it, Gary, and you're right. This film is a massive load of bollocks. But I was surprised. I think the acting in it, apart from Justin Lee Collins, is good.
Right.
It's just made... I looked it up and I thought, how did this... It's released last year. The budget was £5 million. The actors are all people you recognise from British comedies and sort of British scene.
Yeah.
And it's about a crocodile, basically. Two kids break into the zoo and they steal a couple of eggs. And when they steal the eggs at the zoo, one of the kids is killed by the crocodile. And you know, when you first see the crocodile, which makes any monster or... it is really... The first death of this kid,
yeah.
He just gets chomped by a crocodile. And, I mean, you could have just painted your arms green and stuck some cardboard teeth on it. And it would have looked more realistic.
For £5 million, that is unacceptable.
Well, it's written and directed by the same bloke called Michael Anderson.
Right.
And what you don't realise... When you make films, I mean, I've had some experience of shooting, being in the work I've done. It's just the coverage, sort of the coverage you need to get to tell a story.
Yeah.
Specifically, an action story, you need quite a lot of shots if you're on a boat in the river and you're trying to do a film where the crocodile attacks. And if you haven't got enough shots to make that story,
yeah,
it doesn't make any sense.
Yes, you've got to do retakes, that's the thing. Which, you've got to do reshoots.
There's just not enough coverage for the...
But
some bits they've covered, it just seems like the director has not storyboarded it at all, and bits don't make sense. There's some bits when characters are tied up and then the next scene and left, and then apparently they obviously got up and escaped. There's no character continuity, so the actors... One character goes missing and they're upset for one scene. 5 minutes later, they're down the pub having a laugh. Yeah, sister's gone missing when there's a murderous crocodile on the loose. It's
weird.
None of the characters are likeable. I wanted them all to be killed.
Yeah.
I thought, I hope the crocodile kills all of them. Justin Lee Collins plays a villain. He does this by not saying anything. So when he's being really evil, he's just ignoring the person in front of him. So there's no... doesn't make any sense. It's utter it's shit. It's a bag of shit. And I don't understand why Netflix has bought it. But the odd thing is the moment you realise... In the, there's a key moments when you realise at the start of the film when it's going to be bad. You know, when the film starts there's not really much happening. They're trying to get to that 90-minute sacred hour and a half mark, so the credits seem to be going quite slowly. Which doesn't make any... How do you invest £5 million in something?
I mean, that is unreal. I mean... Most starting directors, you know, you'll be lucky to get £1 million, and that is small, you know, that is a small budget.
I was just thinking that the bloke must have won, he must have somehow inherited the money or won the lottery and thought, I'm going to make a film without really ever thinking it through or planning it. It's just a bad film that I did not really enjoy. I'll give it 2 Merricks, I think, because of the acting. Even though they weren't likable, the acting was all right.
Right. It's Thomas Turgoos is very...
What is he doing?
Good.
I don't know why he agreed to it.
He's done some horror films since This Is England. You know, he did... was it Eden Lake, is it?
Yeah, but that's all right.
Yeah.
But this is just really bad and clunky. It's supposed to be a comedy, not funny. It's supposed to be a horror, not scary.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a thriller, not remotely... It fails tense on all... counts and is really unlikable. So in terms of being a bad film compared to Neil, I'd much rather watch Neil Breen stuff.
Wow, so that one's one.
So yeah, so don't, I mean, just it's quite difficult doing bad films because you just say they're rubbish, don't they?
Yeah, and they are, you know, that's it, terrible.
Those are films to avoid apart from anything made by Neil Breen. At least something good's come out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it turns out if you are completely without talent, you are a fascinating exhibit, basically. And we will enjoy watching you try.
It's a circle between genius. If you think it's a full circle, genius is at the top.
Yeah.
And absolutely no talent is also there as well.
Yeah, it's just left of it.
It's better to be really, really bad than quite bad.
So if you fear you're mediocre, it might be easier for you to give yourself brain damage than to actually strive for greatness.
It's a quicker route.
It's a far quicker route.
Well, that's about it then, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for sending your worst film recommendations in. We've had a terrible time watching them. It's been awful.
Well, it's a bad idea.
Let's not do that again. If you'd like to reward us for our efforts, then please go to filmfandango.com and click the donate button. Everyone who has, thank you for keeping Film Fandango alive for another week. Oh, it's so much of our lives. I'm going to be happier when we watch good films again. If you'd like to write to us as well with something other than the worst film you've ever seen, then again, go to filmfandango.com and fill out the box. But we will be back next week with some hopefully better films. But in the meantime, keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.